they see how empty I am when I lived so full. I wonder what tomorrow holds. I don't even know what to give these girls. I don't even have energy to carry them. I don't know how to be an exemplary widow to them. They are young. I am old. There's hope for them. There is none for me. I don't even know if there's really bread in Bethlehem. But I know it's better than sitting here and hoping for something when all that I ever hoped for has slipped through the cracks of my fingers. I don't even know if I still believe I deserve to be called Naomi. There's nothing joyful about me. There's nothing happy about me. There's nothing good around me even. But I'll go back to what I know. At least in Bethlehem I have family. At least I have friends. I have people I can count on. I'm just gonna go home. And I guess we'll figure it out from there. Dear God, I don't know where we're going. I don't look like the people who live there. I don't even know the culture. But God, I know that I met you through my mother-in-law. I know that I met you through my husband's family, oh God. And I never want to lose what I found. I never want to lose you, oh God. So I will hold on. I will hold on to this family. I will hold on to the God of this family. And I will go to a foreign land, oh God. I will be faithful to you and serve you by serving and submitting to my mother-in-law. I know it's going to be hard for her, but thank you, God, that you give me strength to help and carry her. I'm excited to see you at my husband's land. I am excited to see his people. I'm excited to learn his culture. Even though we only had a short life together, I am excited to be part of his family forever. Please give me strength. I don't know how long we have to walk. I don't even know the directions. But I pray that you would give me strength to carry on. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, brothers and sisters. As mentioned on the previous episode, we'll be talking about Esther and Naomi, not Esther, Ruth, Ruth and Naomi today. Again, this is not going to be a typical conversation with God. Of course, we started with a prayer because I think that's important. But I want to share with you a word that God has placed in my heart. So if you missed the previous episode, it was similar to this one. We were talking about the widow, but mostly also talking about Elijah. I'm working on an EP, have started, recorded, finished recording. And now it's being done with what people do with music after recording. So I've recorded my EP. It's titled Heavy Rain, and it's basically based on 1 Kings chapter 18. So please do go and listen to the previous episode if you missed it. And also please be sure to go read from 1 Kings chapter 16 to chapter 18. It is a beautiful piece of scripture that really blesses my heart. So when it comes to Ruth and Naomi, there's just so much that you can also glean from their journey, that is actually also in alignment and similar to the journey of Elijah when he was going back to Israel, basically when he was going back to the king to present himself before the king to wait for the rain. Those were a lot of twos, but you get what I mean. So it really blessed me when I was thinking about it earlier, how these scriptures align, because God said to me something that's very interesting that I want to share with you in the past week or so. And it sounds like I'm thinking as I'm talking, because there's just so much I want to say, and I really don't want this episode to be too long. If you are familiar with Conversations with God, you will know that it is typically a prayer to God, a response from God, a short discussion, and a prayer of repentance. Because usually we go through things and we're afraid to talk about them, but actually it's important that we voice out our concerns, especially to God, even if we, in so doing, we are wrong, we misquote the truth or misunderstand God. It's okay, it's safe. Excuse me, it is very safe for us to do those things with God and have God correct us in his truth and also have the heart to repent. But yeah, so what God has always said to me was how his word is like a GPS, that he does not give you a map, but he GPSes you through the journeys of life. But what he taught me in the last week or so is that our journey, our faith, or our bodies, our lives are the vehicles that take us through this journey, right? So the GPS has to be attached to your vehicle. It has to be within the vehicle that you're traveling with. And that is why God said his word must be in our hearts. That's a revelation right there, that our bodies are the very vehicle that we are traveling through this life, traveling through this world with. And his word is the GPS that is attached to our hearts. It's attached to our hard drive, and it helps us navigate through the journey. But God was also saying to me that the GPS is not going to pick you up from point A to point B. It will direct you through it. It won't necessarily always tell you you are 3 hours away or you are 7 hours away, but it will show you that this is where you're going and this is where you're at. And it will give you an estimated time of arrival. But even as things change along the way, even as you get lost and it reroutes, it will continue to show you that this is where you're going. However, don't focus too much on that, but focus on my direction. I'll tell you when to turn right. I'll tell you when to turn left. I'll tell you when to stop. I'll tell you, you know what I mean? I'll tell you where there are, I'm going to tell you where there are roadblocks or where there are traffic jams. I'm going to help you navigate through this journey of life. But God was also saying to me that usually it's not our GPS that's broken, because our GPS very seldom breaks even. It is either there's something wrong with the car itself, even if the GPS did break, God forbid, because his word never will, the car is still capable of arriving at its destination without. But God's word is sure to stand forever. So you know your GPS is never going to break. You know your GPS is never going to run out of signal. You know your GPS is never going to get lost. But what is important is, how are you keeping your car? What are you telling yourself? Are you getting your service in? You know, every car has is supposed to have a service plan. You know, after a certain amount of kilometers, after a certain amount of miles, you have to book your car in for a service. Are you booking yourself in for a service? Are you taking yourself to the car wash to be washed by the word? Are you fellowshipping with the saints? Come on, somebody. Are you getting a refill of fuel? Are you getting your word in? Are you getting your affirmations in? Whatever it is that refills you. Are you taking time to go to the beach, to go on holiday? Whatever it is you can afford that fulfills you. Are you doing that? Are you giving back? You know what I mean? whatever it is that fills your tank, how often do you do those things? Do you wait until you are totally on empty? Do you wait until there's a warning light? Or do you know to go and get refilled before the going gets tough? Are you changing your oil? Are you putting in more water? Are you refilling your water tank? Sometimes we feel drained and we don't know what's up, but all you need is really a glass of water, even in real life. Are you drinking your water? You know what I mean? There is so much that we can learn from the upkeep of a car that is very important for our journey with God as well. And then one other thing that God said to me was, you have to move. You can't get to a green light and be like, oh my gosh, and start screaming and having a meltdown. You're going to cause accidents. You're going to delay people from getting to their destinations. And you're surely also going to delay yourself from getting to your destination. So you keeping up, you taking care of your mental health, you taking care of your physical health, you exercising, you eating right, you reading the right kind of literature, you listening to music that lifts you up, you are making sure that when the light gets green, you get to go. Because you cannot have a meltdown at a green light. Nobody is going to forgive you for running out of fuel at a green light because you were supposed to have been paying attention to those things. There's nothing wrong with you stopping at a parking. There's nothing wrong with you not moving when your car is in the garage. There is nothing wrong with you resting. There is nothing wrong with you having a meltdown and falling apart, but that cannot happen at a green light. You have, for everything there is a time. There is a time for your car to be broken apart, to be opened, to be dismantled, but that's at the garage. That is in the safety of the manufacturer's office. It's in the safety of the manufacturer's hands. You can trust them to open your car up in places that you've never opened before because they have the knowledge and expertise. Just like you can go to a doctor's office, to a surgeon, and have them open you up and operate on you in places where you could never open yourself up, even quite literally. But that's because they know, they are the experts on that. So you cannot want to do all that. You cannot want to self-medicate at a green light because you have to get moving. And this reminds me of where we're finding Naomi now. She has these two girls. I mean, she cannot just sit and mourn the death of her husband and the death of her sons. She has these two daughters-in-law that she has to figure something out about. You know what I mean? She cannot just watch them go poor. She cannot just watch them go hungry. She's literally at a green light and she's overdue for a service. And all that she wants to do is she wants to get to the other side. She knows she's heard the word. She has the direction. She has God navigating her through it all. But she is tired. And that happens to all of us, right? Sometimes we miss our services. Sometimes we go to a service when we are like already five services behind, and that makes the process even longer, even more expensive, even more, I would even say, like, time consuming and tedious. It makes it less pleasurable for us even when we are getting a service when it's too late, right? So what do we do? And I'm just adjusting myself. What do we do when we are overdue for a service and other people need us more than we, like when you need to get somewhere with your car and your car needs to be booked in for a service? What do you do in that moment? And I want to leave that question out for all of us to think about, to pray to God, God, how do I navigate this? And sometimes what we need to do is to be honest. Like Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, yo, I have nothing to give you guys. I don't have a car today. My car is booked in for a service. I cannot take you anywhere. I have nothing to offer you. I want you to go back home and I want you to go back home and seek greener pastures for yourselves. And people usually say that she was just on time. You know what? Psh, I ain't got nothing to give you. Also, bye, fleeces. Even if she said it like that, it was still from a good place in her heart to say, I have nothing to offer you guys. What I do know is that you can still have a future. And I wish you well in life. And I think that is okay to say. to a person. I honestly think that that is not non-Christian or whatever. Just as it was okay for Oprah to be like, you know what, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk away. I think that is very, very okay, because she wasn't saying it also from like, psh, deuces, I don't need you anymore, old lady. She wasn't saying it like that. She was honestly like, okay, there's some truth to what she's saying. Therefore, I will go and I will build a life. I'll build another life for myself as God blesses me and as God allows me. While there's also nothing wrong with Ruth saying, I'm going to go with you. You know, Ruth, for me, in this scenario, it feels as though she was saying, you know what, I know that today you can't carry me, so I'm going to be there to carry you, because I know that you know how Peter said to Jesus, where will I go away from you, because the words of life are in you, you hold the words of life, and I found in you, that's the word I was looking for. And you know, of course, Naomi was not Jesus, but it wasn't until she met, I am assuming it wasn't until she met Naomi and her husband and the family that she found God. That's why she was saying that your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die, and there will I be buried. Because for her, she knew that I can go anywhere, right? I can drive around in circles all my life and feel like I'm going somewhere. But without this GPS that this woman and her family has, I am not really going to be making it anyway. So she was willing to forsake her people, her country, her land, her customs, her culture, to say, I don't know where we're going, but I want to go with you. And this makes me realize how sometimes we are headed in the same direction with people, even on the road. Sometimes we're all driving to school, right, to go pick up the kids, but we are on different journeys. Someone is coming from work, someone is coming from a divorce hearing in court, someone else is coming from being fired from their job, someone else is coming from a hospital where a loved one just passed away. Everybody is on a different journey. We may all be going to the same place, we may all be headed in the same direction, but everybody is on their own journey, right? So while Ruth could have been excited that, wow, I'm going to see where my husband was born, I'm going to meet his childhood friends, I'm going to learn more about his culture, Naomi was feeling like, oh wow, I don't even know what I'm gonna find when I get there. I don't even know if my friends and my loved ones made it through the and I don't even know how my house is going to look. Do I even still have a house to go back to? I don't know how to go back to Bethlehem as a widow when I left there full as a mother and a wife. You know what I mean? They were both going to the same, very same place, very same house, very same dwelling, but they were on two separate journeys. One could have been curious and excited, and the other one was bitter and sad. And I feel like it's very important for us to seek to understand each other's journeys even as we are going together. You know, God said in the word, can two go together unless they agree? Yes, of course you have to. If you are going together, you have to agree. But I want to submit that maybe even in our agreement, sometimes we agree with a misunderstanding. Sometimes we agree. It happens in relationships. It happens in partnerships at work, with your job, with your business. It happens that you agree and you have an idea. Oh, it has happened to me before, where you have an idea of what the agreement means, but as time goes on, you realize this is not what I signed up for. We agreed. We are going together, but we are on two separate journeys. We're in the same car. We have the same GPS directing us, but we are on two separate journeys. And at some point, you will figure out that your journeys are different, because you will get to a T-junction and you will want to go separate ways. Not because the other is a horrible person, but because your journeys were different. And I want to say that it's very important for us to seek to understand each other's journeys. I feel like Ruth understood Naomi's journey quite a bit. To the best of her ability, she tried to understand Naomi's journey. That's why she was saying, although I see that you don't have capacity now, although I see that you don't have strength now, I am still willing to go with you because I understand your journey. Can you imagine? It's so beautiful. It's so priceless even. And because Ruth sought to understand Naomi's journey, recovered, or in her recovery, she was able to then guide Ruth to say, this is what you should do. She was able to guide Ruth to her restoration. She was able to guide Ruth to her breakthrough, to her own healing, right? And it's so important for me to say that sometimes the people that we pass on the road, you know, when you're driving and someone is broken down and they just need someone to tow them or someone to jumpstart them. And I mean, if I'm South African, so over here it's very dangerous to just stop for anybody. But sometimes you will pass that person and later on your journey, you get stuck and they are driving past you. You know what I mean? I feel like that's the comparison I can give for Naomi and Ruth. When Naomi had broken down, Ruth told her. And when Ruth got to a place where she didn't know the direction, Naomi was able to drive before her and show her, help her navigate through this foreign land where she perhaps didn't even speak the language that they spoke. So yeah, I think I'm going to stop talking here and just say to you, know when you are due for service. Know when you're feeling drained to go get filled up. Know when something feels funny. Maybe you just need an oil change. And these things can be really practical as eating food, reading your word, going to church, taking some time off, even if you can't go anywhere, just taking some time off work, going for a walk, you know, jogging, whatever it is that you need to do to take care of your physical man, of your spiritual man, and of your mental man, do so and make sure that you are going. And as God puts people on your path, acknowledge them and seek to understand their journeys, because you never know why God has placed someone on your path. And let us pray, because I feel like my voice is just wanting to choke. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for our journeys. We thank you that you care about our individual journeys, that you are intentional about how you direct us because you know our individual journeys. I want to pray, Father God, for everyone who is going back, Father God, and they're uncertain about what lies ahead. I pray that you would give them the courage, God, to go back if it is you that is leading them back. And I pray for everyone who is going on a new adventure, who doesn't know what lies ahead because they've never been there before. Won't you go before them, O God? Won't you lead the way as you led the way for the Israelites as they were on their way crossing the Jordan, O God? You put the Ark of your covenant before them and said, follow the Ark and follow the priests holding it, for you've never been through this way before. I pray that that would be the truth for them, and that for all of us, O God, regardless of where we find ourselves, maybe we are broken down on the side of the road because we forgot to go and refill. Maybe we tried to start and our battery was low. Maybe we are thriving and we're going 180, or maybe we're still afraid and we're going 20. Wherever everybody is, O God, whatever their journey is, I pray that you would meet us where we are, O God, and help us navigate our way through this life thing. We are sorry, O God, for when we didn't listen and ended up getting lost. We are sorry, O God, for when we broke down, ran out of fuel, but still blamed you, O God, whereas you have given us an unlimited card to buy fuel in an unlimited service plan with unlimited all-inclusive insurance. You've given us all that we need, oh God, in your word. You've given us all we need through your Holy Spirit. Yet we still fail to keep up, Father God, to take care of ourselves, to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. I pray that you would forgive us, oh God, that you would teach us, Father, how to be good stewards of this salvation, of this life, of these beings that you have entrusted unto us. We honor you, O God, for everything that you do for us. And I pray that whatever lies ahead would bring us to a place of glorifying you, that we would not allow our situation to change our identity, but that we would walk in who you say that we are, wherever it is that we are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.